Amen. You guys ready for the word this morning? Amen. You know that you got to approach the word with praise. Amen. Oh, my holy Jesus. Amen. Come on. You know that every now and again, it's okay to approach the word with a praise. Amen. Because you know that whenever you approach the word with praise, praise will provoke God to give you revelation from the word. You may not have to jump up and down, do cartwheels and speak in tongues and fall out. But sometimes just say, God, I love you. I thank you for this word. I honor this word. Your word is important in my life, and I need you to speak to me from your word. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to complete our series on the Breakthrough to Blessing, Part 5. It is well, the blessed family. Amen. If you have your Bible, Psalm 127 and 3 simply says, you can be seated. We're not going to read a lengthy passage to open this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Amen. Psalm 127 and 3 simply just says, children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from him. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but our daughter, mine and First Lady's daughter, has been away from us about, what, a week now? A little under a week. It's been a week. Amen. And I miss her so much. I miss her so much. I think about Sister Farron, one of our own members that on, what day was that? Day before yesterday, on Friday, brought a beautiful little 6-pound, 7-ounce baby girl into the world. Amen. Sister Kanice Tendra, Miracle Hamilton. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, that little baby, I ain't went up there today, but I've been up there the last 2 days holding on her and loving on her. And I'm telling you, children are a reward. Amen. And so, you know, for those of you that are, how many parents we have in here that have kids? Amen. You can't tell me children are not a reward. Amen. Ain't they a reward? Amen. Sometimes they're a reward that comes with frustration and let down feelings and anger, and I'm ready to beat you. I brought you in this world, and I will take you out this world mentality. But the reality is that children are a reward from the Lord. Amen. And we come to a place in life where we realize that our kids are gifts. But the reality is the greatest gift God ever gave any of us, and the only gift that he gives every person that has ever lived other than life, the only gift he gives every person that has ever lived other than life is the gift of family. Think about that. The moment you cried your first holler, when the doctor brought you from your mother's womb, you were brought into a family. A bloodline, a lineage, a legacy, a history. What's the thing called? And an ancestry now. You know, they got all these pretty words for it now. Amen. You were brought into something. So when God gave you life, he gave you all of the above. Amen. My words are big enough. I don't need my glasses today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for computers and typewriters and printers. Amen. So anyway, so, you know, with that being said, you know, you have to realize that there must be something very special about family. From Genesis 1:26, when he decided to make the first family in the earth, when he said, let us make man in our own image, God's purpose was for him to have a family. Amen. So now with that thought in mind, it's a powerful thing to realize that God gave each of us life and family. We learn the church later in life. We learn school later in life. We learn religion and politics later in life. But the thing that we have from the beginning is life and family. Psalm 128, 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles, if you don't mind, turn there. It's okay if I walk the word with you this morning? So y'all going to do a lot of Bible turning and flipping and stuff. One of my favorite TV preachers right now is Frederick Price. You know, man, I never really paid much attention to him. I always thought it was a little boring. Yeah, I said it out loud. Dr. Price, if you're listening, I love you. Mwah. But lately I've been really, you know, as I've gotten older in God and more mature in the Lord, you know, I used to think preachers that talk real often and they didn't holler and flip out, you know, they was just boring preachers. But then I realized something. We need teaching. And not only do we need teaching, we need sound teaching. Teaching that is backed up by more than one scripture or more than one passage of scripture. Somebody say amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept, time after time. You know, people ask me, why do you minister in series? Why do you minister the same thing? Why do we always hear you say the same thing? You hear that because I'm trying to get a thought established. through the Word of God. Amen. You can't read your Bible one time and say, oh, I know everything about God there is to know. I've done read it through over 14 times, and I'm telling you, I still ain't got God figured out. Somebody say amen. Amen. So today it's imperative that we, you know, we have a little discipline. Somebody say discipline. And we allow the Lord to stretch us concerning His Word. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be going through a few different scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to turn there quite often, and it's going to be okay. And today I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So if my Bible don't read just like yours, it is okay. I'm still preaching from the Word of God. I ain't got no Quran. I ain't got no Torah. Well, I got the Torah. I do got the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. I ain't got none of them other crazy stuff. I ain't got nothing from Muhammad or Buddha up here. Amen. Amen. I got the Word of God. I just got it in today's language. Somebody shout glory. Amen. Psalm 128, 1 through 4. The Bible says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like a vigorous young olive tree as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing to those who fear Him. You know, we hear people talk about the blessing of the Lord that makes a man rich and adds no sorrow. We think that that always deals with money. No, it don't. How many know wealth is not something God miraculously gives you? It's something He gives you the principles to build. So let's just get rid of prosperity nonsense and look at prosperity correctly. You build prosperity. You become wealthy by learning the principles of money. So now we got to look at the blessing of the Lord to be more than just money or monetary gain. We got to get to a place where we realize that God blesses us with more than money. Good shouting point. Amen. So now the Bible opens up in Psalm 28. He said, how joyful are those that fear the Lord. Do you have joy in being afraid of somebody? I don't know about you. I ain't too happy to be around people I'm afraid of. All mamas do this. I'm going to tell your daddy when he get home. How many of y'all mamas did that? Amen. Come on, tell the truth. I'm tell your daddy when you get home. You know what you do to that little kid? You make him say, I don't want daddy to come home. I don't want that butt whooping. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said butt. That's rude. Forgive me. I don't want that butt whooping. I don't want to be whooped. I don't want to be disciplined. Don't let daddy come home. And then daddy comes home and you sit there paralyzed in fear. You know, look at him out the corner of your eye. When's he going to make his move? How many children ever felt like that? You lift your hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. I feel better. People can bear witness with that. So you're not, oh, hey, daddy, how you doing? You ain't trying to love on him and jump up and down, sit in his lap. You ain't trying to do all that. You sitting there. But I thank God that God's not like that. The Bible said you can be joyful. Joyful are those that fear the Lord. Amen. And then it says, all who follow His ways, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let's look at this. God said, one of the principles of the blessing of the Lord is this, for you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. The fruit of your that one word right there, that labor word, we overlook it and run over it so quick. In other words, God says, those that fear me, one of the blessings I'll give you is the ability to work hard and enjoy something from it. Boy, we just messed all that prosperity nonsense up, didn't we? Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, just don't work now. Yes, you got to speak positively over your life. You got to decree things over your life. But don't walk around and lay hands on somebody else's car and say, God, give me this car. See, I don't do that. I say, Lord, if you're going to bless me, I want a car like this. Don't give me their car. Let them keep their car. I don't want theirs. It's used. Don't give me their house, God. If you're going to bless me, I would like a house like this. See, that's what's wrong with us. We always want something. You know the difference in... You know that the difference in a dream and coveting a person is the very simplicity of God, give me theirs. When you refuse to want something, when you refuse to want someone else's, you can't live in coveting. You can't covet your neighbor when you don't want theirs. But you can say, God, bless me like you bless them. Now you're not living in a covetousness of what they have because you don't want theirs. That's coveting, when you want what your neighbor has and you do anything to get it. No, God, don't give me theirs. Give me mine. But if you're going to bless me, I really like what they have. So if you want to bless me like that, I'm okay with that. Somebody say amen. So now one of the very first blessings that God gives people that fear him is the blessing to work hard and enjoy the fruit of their labor. In other words, he won't let somebody rob your labor. Man, what a powerful thought. All of our labor we get fruit from. Somebody say amen. Amen. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine. The second thing that God promises us is companionship. It's not good that man be alone. So now I got man in the garden to work, and I'm going to give him a helpmeet to help him work. Amen? So now the second blessing of the Lord is that helpmeet. I thank God for my wife. How many of you have wives? How many of you pray for your wives? How many of you have husbands? How many of you pray for your husbands? How many of you want to have a wife and don't have one? I got one, but I just lifted my hand, you know. I didn't mean that in a bad way. Love you. Mwah. So, how many don't have a husband but want a husband? Thank you for being honest. Everybody else so scared to lift their hand. They don't know what I'm going to say. Do you pray for your husband now? You pray over him now. God, let my husband be a man of God. Let him be somebody that loves you and fears you. Do you know you can pray over your future spouse? Woo! Oh, I thought I'd get happy right there. I prayed over my wife before I even knew her. I started praying for my wife when I was 12 years old. I tell her all the time, I loved you before I knew you. And I saved myself and waited my whole life for the love of one woman. And I'm proud to say I stood by that. Somebody shout glory. Wait, Pastor, you mean when you got married, you was a virgin? Yes, because I had a promise from God that he would make my wife, amen, a fruitful grapevine. Somebody say amen. So it's okay to pray for your future spouses. If you're in a relationship right now with a young man or a young woman or a man or a woman, I always talk like I'm talking to young people still. Sometimes I forget I'm not a youth pastor no more. You know, so you know, if you're in a relationship with someone now, pray over them. Make sure you're in the will of God concerning them. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Somebody say it's okay. Amen. And the Bible says she'll be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. And your children, somebody say your children, will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. So the third thing God promises to give us in his blessing is children. A legacy. Something we can invest in that will always yield a good return. Amen. That is the blessing of the Lord to those that fear him. Boy, the blessing of the Lord to make one rich and has no sorrow sure got summed up pretty quick, didn't it? So now the blessing of the Lord is our ability to work hard and enjoy it. Our ability to have help, a companion, and our ability to leave a legacy. Boy, that's a deep thought, because it takes all of the supernatural nonsense out of God. And you see God in the simplicity of what he has blessed you with. He gave you the mobility of your limbs to work hard. He gave you a heart to love somebody else. And through wisdom will give you the ability to leave a legacy in those that will come after your name. Somebody say amen. Your family is the greatest blessing. God wants you to be happy in your marriage and with your children. How many would take an assessment and say, I'm happy in my marriage? How many say, I'm happy with my kids? You know, sometimes kids, boy, they, you know, mine's still a little bitty thing. She ain't walking yet. Oh, God, she's about to crawl, though. But, I mean, she's still a little bitty thing. And she, ah! not now. And I'm like, oh, Rebecca, please stop crying. I love you, but stop crying. But what I realized, because I've had godchildren since I was 17 years old, and I've been in every phase of godchildren. I've had them as babies. I've had them as children in school, little big kids. I've had them as teenagers. I've had them as young adults. And some of them I've watched come from teenage to young adulthood. Amen. So I've seen them in a lot. I've got to be dad in a lot of different areas before my time. And with that being said, one thing I learned about children is this: they will disappoint you. You won't always be happy with them. You will always love them. Somebody say amen. You will always love them, but you won't always be happy with the decisions they make. But you got to still look at them when they're down and they've disappointed you. You got to look at them and say, but I still know that you're a gift to me from God. And I am going to love you through what I disagree with. Amen. Satan's attack is centered on family. If I was the devil, the thing I would fight the most is family. Because a strong family is a strong force. Good preaching. And that's why in this generation we have so many fatherless children. In this generation we have so many broken homes. In this generation we have so many broken marriages, because we will not build our life on the principles of the Word of God. I don't care if you're in your fifth marriage. God wants that marriage to be blessed. I don't care if you've had 12 wives or 12 husbands. Husband number 13, wife number 13 is the one God wants you to spend the rest of your life with, because he wants you to learn from the mistakes of the previous 12. Somebody say amen. You got to realize where you're at now. Maybe you're no longer married, and you want to be married again, but you can't love now. You can't trust now. Can I tell you that there's even hope for you? There's healing for you. There's an ability in the Holy Ghost for God to heal you from all whatever you went through and begin to put you back together and position you to walk in the blessing of the Lord. The blessing to have a spouse, the blessing to have children, and the blessing to enjoy your labor in the earth. Pray over your life. Pray over your spouse. Don't make a move without prayer. Pray over your children. How many pray over your children every day? How many call their name out before the throne of grace? God be with so-and-so. And one of the greatest memories I have as a young man is waking up 2-3 o'clock in the morning and hearing Pastor Renita beat her fist on the floor, praying for each of her children by name, praying for our spouses before we were even out of high school. Pastor Renita prayed, and she's still a praying woman, and to this day still prays for us. But I'm just saying, now years later, we're all out of high school, we're all out of college, we're all moving on into our life. My wife and I have been married 7 years this year. And that's not a long time to most people, but we act like we've been married 100. Why? Because somehow, before we ever said I do, we knew each other. Somebody say amen. And you should pray over your children. You should pray over their future spouses. You should take interest in it now. I believe now my wife and I are living in the blessing of the Lord that come from Pastor Renita's prayers years ago. Pray over your children. Pray over their future spouses. It is okay for you to ask God for a list. It is okay for you to tell God, God, send my daughter a husband that will love her. Send my son a wife that will respect him and honor him and will follow his leadership. Make him the spiritual head of his house. Make him to hear your voice. Make him to know you. Make him to not compromise your word. God, move. It's okay to get desperate with God. Hannah was desperate with God. She said, God, if you will but give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And when God gave, you think it was easy to sit here and look in humiliation at another woman that looked at you like you were less than her because you couldn't have a child? But then God give you one, and you have to muster up the strength to keep your vow with heaven and give the baby back to God. And you can only see him once a year when you went up to make the sacrifice. That's not an easy task. But you ought to pray over your kids. You ought to pray over your children. Amen? I tell our church members, anoint your babies every day with oil. Pray the prayer of faith over them before they leave the house. Why? Because you got to know that in this day and time, when the devil plays, he ain't playing fair no more. He goes after our school campuses. There's so many filthy spirits in the school system now. I'm here to tell you, especially in the Hattiesburg region, there's some filthy stuff around here. Hallelujah. Young men sleeping with young men, young women sleeping with young women, and they're not even in high school yet. That's the devil. You don't know what your kid is entertaining at school. Lay hands on them. Speak faith. Speak protection over their life. Blind their eyes to the enemy. Open their eyes to the spirit. Lord, put blinders on their eyes like a horse, that they'll stay focused on their studies. They'll stay focused on you. Your family is a blessing from God. It's meant to be a place of hospitality, healing, and security. Your home is meant to be a place of hospitality, healing, and security. So now let's get into this blessed family thing. What is it like to be a blessed family? How many want to know what it's like to be a blessed family? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I'm gonna wet my dripper here. Amen. Second Kings chapter number 4. When you're there, say amen. Everyone there? Bible says in verse 8, one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there. Somebody say a wealthy woman. And she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build him a small room on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. This unnamed woman, we call her the Shunammite woman. This unnamed woman was a notable woman. She respected the anointing of Elisha, amen, and reached out to bring it into her home. When he would come by, she would feed him. When he would leave and come back, she'd feed him again. So finally she says to her husband, let's build him a home. Let's build him a room on the top of our home. You got to realize something here. The first thing that the blessed family does is honor the presence of God. Notice where she built the room. She didn't build it on the back side of the house or on side of the house or under the house. She built it on the top of the house. When you honor the presence of God, God is the covering of the home. Our good God from Zion. The blessed family has God as a covering, and the Lord will not slumber nor sleep. He will not be short concerning his promises. Hallelujah. When you honor and reverence the presence of God in your life as a family, and you teach your kids to honor the presence of God, God's presence will be a shield and a buckler. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you have the presence of God in your home and it is the covering of your house, there cannot be any danger. There cannot be any toil. There cannot be anything. It will not come nigh thy dwelling. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. The presence of God over your family is more important than entertainment. It's more important than the most beautiful furniture. It's more important than the best paint job. It's more important than the finest car. It's more important than the ADT security system, baby. God's presence will do it all. He'll assign angels. You don't, why pay ADT when you can pray and the Holy Ghost to assign an angel to stand at your house? Hallelujah. And angels will shield your possessions. Don't tell me he won't do it. I know. I'm a testimony. Hallelujah. But you can release angels over your property. Why? Because you live under the covering of the presence of God.
Somebody come to steal something from me one time while I was away preaching revival. They said there was two men in white that were standing at the back property of your house where I was coming. He said, I thought you had friends over. I said, no, baby. They were angels of the Most High. And they were standing there to make sure that nothing that the thief could not find a way in. I'm here to tell you, when you have the presence of God covering you, sickness can't dwell in your home. Poverty can't dwell in your home. Rebellion can't dwell in your home. Why? Because the presence of God, when it is honored, is the most powerful force in the world. The blessed family honors the presence of God. She and her husband were willing to spend the time and the money. Today, that room would have costed us $20,000. You know, lately I've been in this thing when I find investments in scripture, I want to know how much it was. Like Naaman spending $4 million. He brought the man of God $4 million for healing. We can't even give the Lord $10. And they've given the Lord $4 million. And we're getting healed and seeing creative miracles and supernatural glory clouds and all these things happening in our services. And we can't even bring God $10. Got to move on alone. The woman was focused on Elisha's needs. The blessed family, whenever they are under the presence of God, they will follow the leading of God. And God will lead you to meet the needs of other people. Amen. She wasn't focused on her own need. Our home should be open to receive those who give and need ministry. Two type of people should always be welcome in your house. Uh-oh. Somebody say two type of people should always be welcome in my home other than my family. Those that give ministry, the men and women of God that pour out in the earth, and those that need ministry. Is your house a church? Should be. Well, my house is a home. Good. Then tell the sinner to come home. Some of you missed it. Sister over here got it. Tell the sinner to come home. You need somebody to pray for you? I can't drive you to the church, but just come sit in my living room a minute, because I got enough God in my house and his presence dwells there. If you just get there, I get you to him. Oh God. Amen. So we must be delivered from entertaining people. I don't like entertaining or impressing others. And we must become interested in hosting people, ministering to others. Is when people come to your house, do you serve them? Do you host them? Do you minister to them? The blessed family honors the presence of God. 2 Kings 4, verse 11 through 17 says, one day Elisha returned to Shunem and went up to the upper room to rest. He said to the servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or the commander of the army? No, she replied. My family takes good care of me. Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son and her husband is an old man. He said, call her back again. Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year, somebody said, next year, at this time you will be holding a son in your arms. She said, no, my Lord. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. The second thing is that the blessed family receives the favor of God. Elisha asked the woman what she wanted, and she graciously declined his offer for favors with high officials and protection from the army. She was content with what she had, not greedy for what she could get. Amen. But one thing you got to love about being in the presence of a real man of God, the Bible said that He said, "What else?" He said, "Gehazi, what can we do for her? Since she won't tell us, you tell me." Gehazi says she don't have a son. And then later she reveals that it was her hope. She said, "Don't get my hope up like that." So the man of God was able to perceive that she needed a son. And so the deepest desire for a baby, and promised her that he would give, that she would have it in a year. Amen. Not only that, remember in 2 Samuel 6, the house of Obed-Edom, they had the Ark of the Covenant. And as long as the Ark was there, the blessing of God rested on them in time of famine. I'm telling you, once again, when the presence of God dwells, where the presence of God dwells, the favor of God dwells. Everything around you can be fallen, but if you will make his presence the main thing, his favor will always follow. Amen. Now, some of you don't realize the importance here, but let me help you. Your children are your heritage. In biblical times, a son defended and cared for his widowed mother. Once her husband was dead, the Shunammite was blessed with something that money could not buy. She was blessed with the ability that after her old husband died, she could still be provided for and protected. And there would still be a son there to labor to make sure her needs were met. And now the family that she so boldly told the man of God takes care of her. Whenever, because see, once the husband died, any man can take the possessions of the house. So now with the son there, her future was now secured. God's favor will secure your future, baby. Somebody say amen. Amen. The third thing that happens with the blessed family is that they experience the peace of God. Verse 18 through 37 is kind of lengthy, so we're not going to read it all. So basically, I'm going to help you with it. Amen. Time passed and the child grew up, and one day he suffered from something like a heat stroke. And the woman laid him upstairs on Elisha's bed, and she left for Mount Carmel, which is where he was, and she told her husband, "It will be well." Powerful thing to realize. In the midst of a chaotic situation, she had faith enough to tell her husband, "It will be well," because she knew in whom her trust was. When you know in whom you have believed, you can look at every storm that comes around your home and say, you know what? Your winds may blow, your rain may fall, but it will be well. Why? Because I have a right to the peace of God. The peace of God don't mean that a storm won't come. The peace of God don't mean that a trial or a tribulation or a test won't come. But the peace of God means that in the middle of it all, you can hold peace in your heart. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A place that honors the presence of God will always have peace in a time of trouble. So now she went and put the boy in Elisha's bedroom, on his bed, and she tells her husband, "It will be well." Then in Hebrew, she really said shalom. And shalom means peace, tranquility, you know, and contentment. So not only do you have to have peace, but have a stable mind of tranquility and be content. Amen? Good families pass through storms, trials, and difficulties in their finances, children's jobs, health. Amen? The wonderful thing to know when you're going through a trial is that it will be well. When the woman reached Mount Carmel and Gehazi greeted her, he said, "Is there anything wrong?" She said, "It will be well." She didn't come and say, "Oh, my baby died. Help my baby. My baby died." You know, she didn't just run around act crazy. She greeted him in confidence that the same God that gave her the child, through the man of God that spoke the word, could raise the child. So she stood and she said, "It will be well." Sometimes you got to look at your storm and say, "You may come on and blow over this place, but I'm telling you, when you're through, it will be well. I will still be standing. My finances will be better. My children will be saved. My house will be a place where the presence of God is reverenced. Let your wind blow, because when it's over, it will be well." Song said, "I told the storm, you gotta go." I summed it all up. I told the storm to pass. Storm, you can last. You gotta go, away. I command you to move today. Why? When my God speaks, storm, you have to cease. Then the songwriter said, that's what I told the storm. I got a question for you today. When storms blow in your family, when storm blows in your marriage, when a storm blows in the lives of your children, what do you tell the storm? See, some people got enough faith to say, peace be still. Hallelujah. You may blow, but you're going to be still. And if you don't want to be still, that's okay, because it will be well. What will you tell the storm? If you live under the blessing of the Lord, you can say it will be well. Things come to try our faith. Things come to make our faith stronger. Things come to make our marriages stronger. Things come to make our relationships with our children stronger. This thing didn't come to kill you. It came to make you stronger. Somebody say amen. So now my question is it well? Is it well with your marriage? Is the tone of your communication tender or harsh? You'll always know married couples that have issues. They talk mean to each other. Y'all got quiet. Ooh. Some of y'all probably fought before you got to church this morning. Because I figured out something. The number one time for the enemy to fight for the devil to fight the family is on Sunday morning right before service. That's when the husband want to act up, the wife want to act up, the kids want to act up, right before service. Because the devil does everything in his power to keep you from getting the word of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you fascinated with your spouse like you were when you were dating? Think about it. Come on, husbands, think about when you first met her. You know, in your mind, you know, you looked at her and you said, woohoo! Yeah, God, that's what I'm talking about. That's mine right there. Uh-huh, that's mine right there. Yeah, I feel you, dog, I feel you. Some of you looked at her and you said, first thing hit your mind was, you are so beautiful. To me, can't you see? Anyway, you know, somebody else looked at your wife and said, whoa, mama. Yeah, buddy. Come on, you all know what it was like. Women, think about when you first realized he was chasing you. What did you feel? Was you like, you know how y'all women get all googly and stuff? You know, did you just fold over like melted butter? Oh, make my liver quiver, my heart beat, my brain spin in my under mind. You know, girl, you let me tell you. That's what them young girls do now. A boy can't even say he like him, and before he get like you out your mouth, girl, let me tell you what he's saying. They just, man, they got their girlfriends on speed dial now. What did you feel when you first met your spouse? When you first realized that, hey, this could be who God has given me to spend the rest of my life with. You know, before you found out that they didn't brush their teeth in the morning, or they didn't wash their face, or they didn't pick up after themselves, or... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, y'all don't know how marriage goes. Let me help you. Because it is something about those two powerful words, I do, that just make you just don't like that person no more. I could shoot you. The first year of marriage is so fun because you learn to live with their habits and things you didn't know nothing about. You know, gentlemen, you know how it was when you had to belch and you walked away from the table. Excuse me, got a phone call. Just to belch, and you know, ladies, how y'all are. I gotta go fix my face. You don't want to tell them you gotta go to the restroom. You just want to go fix your face. You know, the little things that you didn't want them to know about you. Put all that makeup on, put the lipstick on, and then the first time he saw you with Dottie, like to fell out the bed with a heart attack. Who are you? Where you come from? What happened to the woman I married last night? What in the world? What you do with her? That's why I tell y'all, don't be wearing that fake stuff. Don't be wearing them weaves and stuff, you know. Don't wear that stuff. Because first time your husband see you without long hair, he going to fall over. Like, good Lord, I married you because you had long hair. Just be you. I never forget, I thought my wife was naturally blonde. Because when I married her, she had blonde hair. All my life, I said, I want a blonde hair woman with green eyes. I don't know why green. You know, everybody say blonde and blue. I didn't want blue. I wanted green. And she green eyes, and she had blonde hair then. And I never forget, the first time she didn't get her hair done. I was like, hey, you got brown in the top of your hair. I left. I went off on a pipeline job, you know, with, you know, because I used to work in pipeline construction. And I came back, and it was about, what, maybe about a month. It was about a month or so since I had seen you. And she done dyed all the blonde out and dyed it back to a natural color. I said, who are you? What are you doing in my house? What did you do with my wife? She said, baby, because you done fixed it different. And she had new glasses then and everything. I said, "What? Wait a minute. Where's the woman I married?" You know what I had to learn that day? I did not marry a blonde. My heart was broken. When she married me, I had a head full of hair. Her heart got broken time too. See, look at God. We both fell out over hair. I mean, hey. I was about half this size then, but boy, her feeding blowed me up. So she got a fat man after all. Watch out now. I tell people all the time, this ain't fat, this is abundance. This prosperity, this running over, shall men give to your bosom. This is the blessing of the Lord. And now I'm trying to get unblessed. Anyway. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, leave your blessing on me. Just take the weight off. Amen. So, but I said all that to say that, you know, sometimes we got to go back to that moment. And we got to fall back in love. Amen. Do you respect and honor each other in the prospective roles in the marriage? Do husbands, do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? Are you able to understand she's the weaker vessel and she may not be able to handle the pressure and the things that you can handle? Do you remember that she is weak and you have got to be strong for her, and that your prayers can be hindered if you don't treat her right? Wives, do you respect the leadership of your husband? Even when you don't understand, can you be led blindly until understanding can be made? Do you respect each other in your roles? Amen? Just some questions for you. Or would you rather spend time, hours together than away from each other? I don't know about you, but if I had a choice to spend time by myself and time with First Lady, I'd choose First Lady. Even if we don't do nothing but sit there and watch TV, hey, we'd be couch potatoes. Let's watch TV. I'd rather watch TV with her than without her. Do you still feel like that about your spouse? Are you still consumed with them? Even though we know they got to go to work, we got to go to work, and you got to take care of the kids, got to go pay bills, got to go run errands. So we can't just sit at home all day long looking at each other saying, "Huh, you're so pretty." There's other things to do in life, I understand. But can you do those things and still keep that same love? Amen? Do you agree on parenting and financial decisions? For those of you that have children, do you agree on what the core values the children will live by? Do you agree on financial decisions? How many know that the two things, do you know that the two things that divide marriage is mistrust in finances and mistrust in parenting? People, sexual immorality comes after trust is broken, not before. It's not what breaks trust. It's what comes after trust is broken. And if it is what breaks trust, that person never loved you anyway. Somebody say amen. Your life is probably better without them. Oh, people got tight. I must have hit something. Two things I always say God never desires. God never desires for you to remain in a marriage that is abusive, and God never desires for you to remain in a marriage that you cannot trust your spouse. Somebody say amen. Is it well with your children, for those of you that are parents? Have they become rebellious? How many say, Pastor, I got rebellious kids. Don't do that. Don't lift your hands. Wink your eyes. I got a rebellious kid. Are they on fire for God, or are they hiding their secret sins? Let me ask this question. How many times do you ransack your child's room? Kids, I know y'all don't love me right now. Y'all be all right. Two things my mama never allowed. She never allowed secular music, and she never allowed rated R movies. Anything above rated R, actually. PG-13 still had to be screened. Why? She wanted to protect her kids. She knew that she only had us for maybe 6 hours of a day, and we slept the other eight, and the rest of the time we were at a secular school. When's the last time you ransacked your children's room? When's the last time you monitored their friends? When's the last time you looked at their Facebook page? Uh-oh. When's the last time you checked their text messages? When's the last time you checked their call out? Well, I just think that's a little controlling. You better get off thinking that's controlling. And you better look at that as a defensive posture against the devil. You know what I can't stand? I can't stand for a kid to live in the house of their parent and they have a lock code on their cell phone that the parent don't know. Huh. Be my house, you would get a beating. I still believe you spare the rod and spoil the child. Somebody say amen. My wife knows passwords to everything I have. When my daughter gets old enough to have her own stuff, I'm going to know the passwords to everything she got. You got to protect your children. You got to be on the defensive with the enemy. Because let me tell you something. He's playing for keeps now. He'll get your child caught up in a world of sin, then take them right on up out of here before you can get them back to Jesus. Ooh, somebody say amen. Some of you parents have experienced where your children backslid and then came back to the Lord. That's not a nice feeling. You can't tell me it's nice for you to be in the house of God and you know that your children are out sinning before the Lord. You can't tell me that's a good feeling. Is it well with your children? Are you not allowing them to have secret sins? Boy, I know y'all ain't liking me right now, but y'all be all right. All y'all little kids will be all right. I feel them teenagers. Can't believe he's saying that. He's telling all my business. Are the lines of communication open with you and your kids? Can your kids talk to you about anything? They should be able to. I'm not rebuking. How many taking this as a rebuke? Don't be rebuked. If it's wrong, if you're wrong, just be convicted and get right. I ain't trying to rebuke or condemn anyone. Are the lines of communication open? Can your kids talk to you about anything? If they're not open, you need to find out why. Because parents, can I help you? You're not always right. And I don't care. You can think that you got it all right. You don't got it all right. And you will scar your children if you live in the mentality that you have all, if you have it all together, you have all the answers, and they're never right. Sometimes you got to be the big person and say, I'm sorry. Kids, you should have said amen. 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 Sometimes you got to say, I'm sorry. I'm not, forgive me if you take this the wrong way. I love you in the name of the Lord. But I don't condone abusive parental relationships that are maybe not be physically abusive, but they're psychologically abusive. I don't condone it because you cannot raise your kids to fear you to the point that when they're adults, they will never respect you. Sometimes you just don't know. Your oldest kid is your first baby. You don't know how to be. I can't stand mothers that think they got it all figured out because they had one kid. People got mad at me. I don't care. I love you in Jesus' name. You don't got it all figured out because you got one baby. If you want to get it all figured out, go get that book right there and read that book. And let's find out what you talk about parenting then. Because there's one powerful scripture. We don't mind telling the kids. The Bible say the kids must obey and honor your parents, for it is right in the Lord that your days may be long on the earth. Oh, we don't, but we stop there. The scripture right after that talks to the parents. And it says, and parents, provoke not your children to anger in the way that you discipline them. Are the lines of communication open? I know I'm a little lengthy this morning, but it's going to be all right. Are the lines of communication open? Can your kids talk to you about anything? Listen, let me tell you something. Never allow the enemy to have your kids offended at you and you can't go back and make it right, because if they stay offended, then you will forever lose them. And they'll go tell everybody else what you wish they would tell you. They'll confide in other people and things they should confide in you about. Then you'll feel disrespected and you'll feel like they don't love you. It's not that they don't love you, they just can't talk to you. It's not that they don't respect you, they just can't talk to you without you beating them up and say you're doing it wrong. Sometimes you gotta learn as a parent not to be frustrated by what your kids say, just be quiet and listen a minute. You need a copy. Sometimes you just gotta be still a minute. Because see, this is what we've done. We teach our kids not to be emotional. Don't talk to me when you're mad at me. No, don't be like that. Let them talk. Let them get their emotion out, because all you're going to do, you're going to teach them to be anti-emotional the older they get. So now when they get married and their spouse is trying to unconditionally love them, their spouse will never be able to, because they'll never be able to emotionally connect with their spouse, because you told them, shut up. I hate those words. I hate for a parent to say them. I want to slap every parent to say, shut up. Tell them to be quiet. Tell them to calm down. If they go to getting out of hand and you feel they're becoming disrespectful to you, just say, wait a minute, baby, just calm down. We can talk about this. Sometimes the reason why your kids become disrespectful to you is because you set the tone for disrespect. Oh, man, parents ain't liking me now. I'm going to duck in a minute because I feel the tomatoes coming. Sometimes you got to calm down and say, wait. You know, there's no greater pain in the earth than to be, oh God, I feel like crying because I thought about something in my own life. There's no greater pain in the earth than to have a secret that you can't tell your parents. Some of you been there. You had things you couldn't tell nobody. I never will forget the day I had to tell my mom and dad some things. They didn't like me. Because when I tried to tell them the years before, they shut me down. God healed it. Now they know we're all better. Things have been vindicated. Relationships have been reconciled. Now they're my best friends in the world. Children, I encourage you, be honest with your parents, but respect who they are. Amen. Parents, if you don't like me, see me after church. We'll talk about it. Because I will not flinch to stand up for young people. Will not flinch. You'd be surprised that the parents get mad at pastors that talk about they doing things wrong sometimes. Sometimes you're wrong. And because you can't admit it, your children are walking around burdened and scarred. Pastor thinks about healing. I want to see your kids free. Do you? Even if they got to tell you something you hurt them about. I thank God for Deno. Thank God for Deno. Because sometimes I don't even realize I hurt Deno's feelings. I just talk to him. You know, Deno is my little godson right here. Spends a lot of time with me. I'm the dad that he knows. You know, thank God he got a stepfather, and they have a good relationship too. But, you know, the reality is sometimes I say something, I hurt his feelings, don't even know I hurt him. So then he goes acting funny with me. I'm thinking, what did I do to you? Some of you been there. Come on, parents, tell the truth. You been there. What's wrong with them? Something done crawled up in them and done made them sour. My dad, you say, what done got up your crawl? I don't know. Never forget one day when we first was launching the church, I was trying to, Deno kept trying to spend time with me. I kept telling him, wait a minute. And so Deno, for about 2 or 3 days, man, he was acting funny with me. And finally, I grabbed him, pulled him to the side. I said, "What's wrong with you?" "Nothing." I said, "Stop lying." You know, like any good father would, want the kid to tell the truth. "Stop lying." He dropped his head. I said, "Now tell me what's wrong. You can talk to me. Tell me what's wrong." He looked up to me and tears went to run out of his face. And he just hollered, "I just want to spend some time with you and you're ignoring me." Boy, you talk about, I felt about that big. I cried like a little baby. I grabbed him and hugged him and said, I'm sorry. I cried till snot would run out my nose. Not that you want to know that, but I thought I'd tell you. Visitors, please forgive me. My flow is different than every Sunday. You don't know what to get if I preach because I'm all over the place sometimes. So you know what I did? I stopped what I had on the calendar for the day. I turned my phone off. I put him in the truck, and he and I just went for a ride. And we found us a hill that you could go down real fast and come up real fast. And boy, I gunned it down that hill. We running 70 miles an hour. I come down that hill. Zoom! He lost his stomach. Whoa! Then he goes, do it again. So I turned around and we went back the other way and did it the other way. Do it again. So turn around, went the other way. I think we went up that hill, 7-8 times that day. It took me 30 minutes to heal what I spent 3 days ignoring. You'd be surprised what a small conversation would do. He hollered at me when he told me he wanted to spend time with me, but I was ignoring him. Shouted as loud as he could, and I was so embarrassed with people standing around. But you know what the people saw? They didn't see a father get mad. They saw a father become broken. Say, "I'm sorry." Parents, sometimes you need to learn to be broken. Amen? Does your family have activities you love to do together? I love to go. I can't play, but I shoot the basketball. I'm too big to run around the court. I beat them bounce as much as the ball did. So I stand there and say, "Throw me the ball." And I shoot the ball. All of the men of the church that go out and hang out with me, they tell you that I just sit there and shoot the ball. "Oh, I missed it. Way. Okay, your turn. You shoot now." They go to run, and I back up. "Let me move out the way for y'all. Bounce off me in a minute. Let me just get out the way." Do you have activities? Do you sit down with your kids? One thing I think would be cool, sit down and do Bible trivia with them. Have fun and learn the Word of God. Woo-hoo! That's a double whammy. That's a good thing, you know. That's a good thing right there. What, Pastor, my kids are too old for all that now. Do they have kids? Do you have grandbabies? Hey, what you messed up doing with your kids, you can fix with your grandbabies. Go back and repent to your kids and then do better. Learn to take your daughter to the mall. Learn to take your son out to eat. I don't care if they are. Let them have a husband and wife. Go do something with them. And don't fuss at them and talk about things they don't do right while you talk. Just enjoy time with them. Y'all think the anointing done lifted off of me. I promise I'm still under the anointing. Sometimes all somebody wants is for you to spend time loving them. Somebody say amen. Do you listen to your children talk and are you sensitive to their experiences? If you have a girl, a child, you need to listen to her experiences about these crazy boys. If you have a boy child, you need to listen to his experiences about these crazy girls. I ain't against teenage dating, but man, you got to watch it now. First thing, I'm going to tell you this. Parents, if you let your child talk to unsaved people, shame on you. Throw the mic. Shame on you. You're setting yourself up to hurt your baby's heart. Oh boy, I feel the young girls now. Oh, I can't believe he's wrecking my life this morning. No, I'm not. I'm loving you enough to tell your parents they need to protect you from the devil. If he can't meet you, parents, he don't need to be with them. I must have got an amen right there. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Oh, that's for all the daddies with little girls. If that boy can't come meet you, you better not let him touch your daughter. Don't shake her hand. Don't hold her hand. Don't peck her on the cheek. Don't throw your arm around. I'm going to shoot you in the foot. You got to become aggressive with the devil. The Bible is very plain. Be not unequally yoked. I don't want to know if they go to church. I don't care if you go to church. There are a lot of people going to church that's going to go to hell. I don't want you to go to church. I want to know, do you have a relationship with God? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you talk to God? Does God talk to you? Are you afraid to take advantage of my kid? These things you better go ask these people. Because nowadays, girls raping boys. You better ask questions. I'm finna get on the kids in a minute, parents. Don't feel bad. They next. But right now, you know, ask questions about your child's life. I don't know how your mama and daddy did it, but my mama said, ain't no secret in my house. We couldn't lock the doors. Thank you, Jesus. Matter of fact, my mama wouldn't even let us close the door when we slept at night. You know why she did it? She didn't want us in there entertaining demonic spirits that would come in the night to make you have lustful thoughts. Oh, wait, the church don't talk about this stuff no more. That's why I love being me, because I'm going to talk about it. You need to check on your kids. Take their phones away at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. If they live in your house, everything shuts down at my house at 9 o'clock. Take their phone away. They don't need to be texting at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Who is up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning that's up to any good? My daddy always said, nothing good happens after 10. Only thing happening after 10 is the drunks, the drug dealers, and the prostitutes. I said, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. I told him that one time. I loved him, but I told him that one time. He said, son, let me tell you a story. I was the drug dealer. Oh, my daddy, who is saved, had a history that I didn't know about. Then I found out he almost lost his marriage to my mom because he was dealing drugs. And my uncle come told him, the sheriff about to come get you. Your name on the list, you want it. And guess what he did? He stopped selling drugs and got saved and never went back. Now he and his wife are pastors. Watch out, somebody. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's a man of wisdom and power. I feel like preaching. Woo! I felt power. Woo! That's my daddy. Ooh. Anyway. But boy, my daddy was against some things, and so was my mama. And we never understood why. But you know what we figured out? They had experienced some stuff they didn't want us to feel. And I'm glad to say I ain't never touched a drug in my life. I ain't never smoked in my life. I tried. My lungs wouldn't take the cigarette. I ain't never been with a prostitute. I ain't never hung out with a drug dealer. I met a few. They got saved. That's Shad. Leave your hand, Shad. Shad was a drug dealer till about 4 years ago. You want to know when you need to go evangelizing? Go at midnight, because you'll find them at midnight. They'll be out there then. That'll be the ones that want him, because now they can't sleep and they're restless and they're looking for something to put them to sleep. Baby, find them and give them the peace of the Holy Ghost. Give them Jesus. I'm sorry, I got happy. Forgive me. Woo! It was 3 o'clock in the morning and I shook his hand and the Holy Ghost knocked him out. He didn't even know who, he just smoked a cigarette, had his pants up like this, and do-rag on, wife beat a t-shirt, walked around with a big old afro. I said, hi, I'm Rocky. He said, poof. I'm thinking, man, this big old gorilla just hit the floor hard on a concrete asphalt. Power evangelism, woo-hoo. Revival, yes. He got up 30 minutes later and said, what was that? You know what God did? God had to top every high he ever had, because he had to know that whatever that God was about to give him was more powerful than anything he had ever experienced. So you know what? 2 days later, he wanted to go to church, and he went and got the Holy Ghost. Somebody threw water on him, and he got baptized with the Holy Ghost and power, and he ain't picked up a cigarette. He ain't drank a beer. He ain't sold a drug. He got saved and delivered. Now he's married and in the projects telling people about Jesus. You can't tell me what God can't do.
Okay, I had my little fun preaching moment. Okay.
Children, is it well with your parents? I told y'all parents I'm about to get on the kids. Do you blow up every time your parent gives you their opinion? Do you get mad when your parents say no? Do you respect them as the spiritual covering to your life and those that are watching for your soul until they give you away? But mama, you know what every kid can do? And shame on you if you do it. Play mama against daddy. Shame on you if you do it. That's why mama and daddy need to know how to talk so the kid can't fool the other. When mama say no, don't go to daddy, get him to change her mind. No. I feel somebody getting convicted right in this area. Don't play your parents against each other, because then you cause division in their life, and that is not what God desires for you to do. God don't want you getting mad because you can't go to the ball game or the movies. God wants you to respect their authority, that your days may be long on the earth. And when you get mad with them, love them enough to talk to them. Don't go blasting them on Facebook. I can't stand my parents. I can't stand for a kid to put nothing like that on Facebook. I want to beat every kid I see that does it. How you going to talk about your parents on a social networking site? Oh, I can't stand her. Who is her? You better tell me who her is, because it better not be your mama. He playing game. Who is he? He better be some little knucklehead that you don't need to be in your life anyway. Talk about your daddy. Don't get me wrong. I know some parents just ain't meant to follow the example of. God didn't call you to follow the example. God called you to honor them. Throw the mic. Thank you. I found a way to throw the mic without tearing it up. I know. Do you love your parents enough to share your dreams with them? Parents, do you create an environment that will allow your children to share their dreams with you? We can turn that air off now. It got a little chilly. I'm sweating. Maybe that's why I'm cold. Anybody cold other than me? Okay, amen. Amen. Children, do you communicate with your parents? Because that's what God wants you to do. One thing, the worst thing a teenager can do, come into their mom and daddy's house after school and lock themselves up in their bedroom. My mom and daddy would take the door off the hinges. Do you holler at your parents? For no reason, should I say? Y'all so quiet. How many got like an in-your-face experience with this message this morning? Oh, look at the honesty. Amen. How many of y'all challenged through this message this morning? Amen. That's fun. That's when you know you went to church and it was fruitful. Oh, I'm sorry if I get happy. Forgive me, y'all. I'm a ball of joy. I like to have fun. Children, do you fear God enough to realize he could have gave you to some no good person, but he blessed you and gave you the parents that you have. And for those of you that had no good parents, that's okay. God will give you surrogate mothers and surrogate fathers. For those of you that don't have a mom and dad, one may be gone or disabled, he'll give you a surrogate. What's a surrogate? A fill-in. Somebody that's not blood kin to you, but takes that role in your life. That's several. Shad is one of the young men in this church that I'm his dad. He's not my son by blood, but he's my son by virtue of spirit. He don't even have a relationship with his real father. Tried. Real father didn't want one. Several other in this house this morning with that testimony. I don't mind being their daddy. I don't control them. I don't get mean with them. I don't get in too much stuff. But God will give you somebody you can pattern your life after in a godly way. Children, do you see your parents as godly people? Boy, I tell you first, my mama prayed more than any woman I know. And my daddy got more wisdom than Solomon. Can you speak good things about your parents more than bad? And if you speak bad more than good, is it because of your own selfish pride? Because they didn't let you do what the little princess or the little prince wanted to do? Selah, ponder on such things. Have you forgiven your parents for any form of negative comments or negative behavior toward you? Because guess what? Forgiveness is your part, not theirs. They can say, I'm sorry, but if you don't forgive, then you're still the one running around with the offense. Well, Pastor, sometimes things are just too hard to forgive. You don't know what they did to me. I don't have to know. I know that the Bible tells you to forgive. And the love that you want from them, you will never experience until you forgive them. Somebody say amen. Is it well with your marriage? Is it well with your family? Is it well with your children? Is it well with your parents? So now this morning, is it well? How many could say, Pastor, I found out it really ain't well in some areas? Throw them hands, well, throw them, okay, come on, throw them hands up. If you say, I found out it really is not well in some areas, I got good news. The last thing a blessed family receives is the restoration of God. God wants to restore your family. This Shunammite woman's son came back to life. Then the man of God sent her away for 6 years. He said there's going to be a famine in the land. So she went away and lived healthily. And then when she came back with wealth. Right after the kingdom endured a famine. Elisha warned the Shunammite to leave the country. She obeyed and was sustained. Divine direction comes to those who are blessed of the Lord. You as a blessed family, do you have godly leadership over your life? People that can hear the voice of God, can see in the spirit, can speak protection over you, can tell you what the enemy's planning? And if so, do you as the parents of the house respect that leadership? Let me tell you something. If you don't respect godly leadership, your children will never respect yours. You know what is the worst thing for a parent to do? Leave church and talk about the pastor. Because their kid goes, well, if you don't respect leadership, why should I? You should always leave church once you've submitted to godly leadership, unless they just done got way off somewhere, or they just ain't got, you know, they just done went loony. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. You should respect them. Thank you, mother. You should respect them. She hollered amen from the back. The only time you should never respect godly leadership is when it goes in direct conflict with the word of God. And if they conflict in the word of God, then you need to tell them. Love your leadership enough to tell them the truth. One thing about me, I'm the type of pastor, I welcome you to correct me. I do. If you can take me to the word and show me where I'm wrong, I will fix myself. I will reposture myself. I will repent. Because what I don't believe is that every pastor knows it all, just like every parent don't know it all. Sometimes pastors need their people to love them enough to say, "Pastor, you said something, and you know, based on this scripture, I don't know if it agrees." And you know what I'll say? Well, let's search it together. Let's find truth together. I welcome that. I love the ability to grow together. We don't got to leave the church just because we disagree. Let's reason about this. Let's talk about this. True godly leadership will welcome that. If you've been under leadership that don't welcome that, you're not under godly leadership. You're under a dictatorship. Not in this house. Not in this house. Somebody say amen. Upon her return, she approached the king for her land and house to be restored. And at that precise moment, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was discussing with the king the story of her sons raising from the dead. God put her in the right place at the right time for everything to be restored. God will restore your family. Amen. You can claim that God will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Just as Joel said, you can say just like Job, "I know my Redeemer lives, and he will restore unto me," just like David, "the joy of my salvation." God is a God. He restoreth my soul in the paths of righteousness. God can restore your life. God can restore your marriage. God can restore your family. He can restore your relationship with your children, your relationship with your parents. God is a God of restoration.